Okay, today's daf is Rav Metzia daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We left off on daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amid Beis. We are at the Mishnah on daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amid Beis toward the bottom of the page. So we're continuing discussions relating to Bayis Va'aliyah, to two people living in a two-family home, one on the top floor, one on the bottom floor. And again, as we said, some of the Mishnayos in this parak refer to a Bayis Va'aliyah that are owned equally by two people. Other Mishnayos refer to a Bayis Va'aliyah where one person owns the entire place and he rents out the top floor to somebody else. This Mishnah is the latter case. It's where one person owns the entire place and he rents out the top floor to somebody else. So, HaBayis Va'aliyah, Nivchasa Ha'aliyah Ve'in Balabayis, Rotsa Sakein, if let's say the top floor caves in, not entirely, but even just a little bit, part of the top floor caves in, so the owner of the house who lives on the bottom floor is not interested in fixing it, he's not willing to pay to fix it, Hare Bal Ha'aliyah Yored Vidar Lamata, the guy who lives in the top floor can go down and live in the bottom floor. Achi Sakin Lo Es Ha'aliyah, until the guy on the bottom floor, the owner of the house, agrees to finally fix the aliyah. Until he fixes that floor in between, the guy on the top floor has the right to live in the house of the person on the bottom floor. There is a machlokas rishonim, the tour in Siman Shin Yud Beis, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in the Nosekelim, in the Sma in Siman Shin Yud Beis. There's a machlokas rishonim. What if the guy on the bottom floor says, I'm not going to fix it, so Kazantahid, come and live with me. Is that a davar aser? Is he not allowed to say that? Or are we, meaning, what are we saying over here that he has two options? He can either fix the top floor, or he can invite his neighbor, his top floor neighbor, to come and live with him. Or are we saying, no, he has to fix the top floor, and as a knas for not fixing the top floor, his neighbor is going to come live with him, or as a way of making things somewhat even, but still, he's not allowed to just say, okay, I'm not going to fix it, come and live with me. So the Torah says it's a chiyuv on the maskir to fix the top floor. As long as the bayis is still around, he has to make sure that the aliyah is still functional as well. And as long as he hasn't fixed it, the socher is going to have the right to live with him, but the maskir is still mechuyav to fix it. The Rama says that the masker is not chayiv to be misakin it and to actually spend money to go and fix it. And even lechatchila, he can tell the socher, look, I'm not interested in fixing the floor. You want to come live here? Come live here. Gesunte, hey, the more the merrier. We're fine and happy to have you live with us. And that's fine as well, according to the Rama. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Rabbi Yossi Omer HaTachto Nosin Es HaTikra VeHaElyon Es HaMa'aziva. When it comes to repairing the floor in between the top floor and the bottom floor, when it comes to the floor / ceiling, so the guy who lives on the bottom has to pay for the tikra, which is the just basic beams of the ceiling, and the elyona samaziva, and the guy on the top floor has to pay to even out the floor from his side, meaning that it's not just one layer in between the top and the bottom, so they each have to contribute partially into filling in that layer between the top and the bottom. Says the Gemara, frak the Gemara, nifchasa bekama. How much does it have to have caved in for the halacha in our Mishnah to be truth, that the guy has to fix it, and if not, you go and live in his property? So Rav Amar Beruba. Rav says only if it's mostly caved in. Ushmuel Amar Barba. Shmuel says no, even if it's just four tfachim that have caved in, the halacha is still going to be that he has to go fix it, and if not, you go to live in his house. Rav Amar Beruba, Aval Ba'arba Alau, Adam Dar Chetzi Lamata V'Chetzi Lamala. Rav is going to say only if it mostly caves in, but if just four tfachim caved in, so you're not going to have the right to go live entirely in his house. You could take four tfachim of his house, meaning if it's just four tfachim that caved in, so take whatever space you need, whatever you were going to put in those four tfachim. If you were going to put your refrigerator in those four tfachim, so take four tfachim of his space below and put your refrigerator there, and you're going to continue to live in the top floor, and you'll go to, whenever you need something from your refrigerator, you'll go to the bottom floor and take it from the refrigerator, and that's assumed to be normal, that it's okay for a person to live partially on the top floor, partially on the bottom floor, right? A duplex is something that's not so crazy to have two floors. Ushmuel Amar, Ba'arba'a, Ein Adam Dar Chetzi Lamata V'Chetzi Lamala. Shmuel says, no, even if it's a four tefach hole in the floor, still you're allowed to move entirely out of the top floor and say that you're moving into the bottom floor entirely, because you can't be expected, if initially the, I don't think Shmuel's saying that it never happens that a person lives chetzi lamata v'chetzi lamala, but if initially your agreement was that you were going to have a one floor apartment, so you can't be expected to have to adjust to having a two floor, to having to split your space between two separate floors. So frankly, Gemara Hechidami, what's the case of our Mishnah? Ida Amar Aliyah Zu Azda. If he said to him that I'm giving you Aliyah Zu, I'm giving you this Aliyah, well, this Aliyah doesn't exist anymore. It's gone, right? So why should he have to give him anything? The arrangement was that I'm providing you with Aliyah Zu, and that's not here anymore. Ella Darmale Aliyah Stab. So what must it be that he told him, I'm renting you an Aliyah, not this Aliyah, I'm renting you a top floor. So Logale Achriti. So then he shouldn't be responsible to give him a different top floor, right? He should have to provide him with another top floor. So he shouldn't have to fix this one. So Amarava, Lotzricha Darmale. Now the case is that he said, Aliyah Zushani Maskulach, this top floor that I am renting to you, Kisalka salik bahada, when it goes up, you go up with it. The kinachis chavis bahada, and when it goes down, you go down with it, which essentially means when it goes down, you live downstairs. Ihachi maila meimra, but if that's the case, then of course, what's the big chiddush? Meaning, all our Mishnah is saying is that if they make a previous arrangement that when the top floor falls down, that you could come live in the bottom floor, the halacha is you can come live in the bottom floor. Right? There's no great chiddush in that either. So Ella, fourth possibility of what we're talking about, Ella Maravashi, Damarle Aliyah Zu Shal Gabe Bayizah Ani Maskilach. The guy says, I am renting you this Aliyah that's on top of this house. Da Shabbat Bayisla Aliyah, where he was Meshabed, the house to the Aliyah. Meaning, that means to say, so long as this house exists, I'm going to agree to make sure there's an Aliyah on top of it for you to live in. He didn't have to mention the bias at all in the rental agreement. From the fact that he mentioned the bias, he's relating to the idea that the Aliyah, that as long as there is a bias, there's going to be an Aliyah on top of that bias. That's what he was being mechayev himself in by mentioning the bias. He could have just said, I'm renting you an Aliyah, and then as we said, if the Aliyah wasn't there anymore, then there's nothing to talk about anymore. But since he said Aliyah sha'al gabe bias, so as long as there's a bias, there's going to have to be an Aliyah. Says Tosos, and the first possibility, we said, if you say Aliyah zu, I'm renting you this Aliyah, I'm renting you this top floor, and then v'nafal, and then it fell down, the Gemara had said, okay, so that Aliyah is gone, there's nothing else to talk about, he doesn't have to replace it, you said you were going to give that Aliyah is not there anymore. So says Tosos, and then what about the payments? How would you pay for it? So says Tosos, v'yitein lo scharo shekvar dar, that you would give the rental payment of the amount of time that you already live there, she'im dar chatzi yitein chatzi. If you live there for half of the agreed upon time that you were supposed to live there, so you pay half of the rental payment. Kedah Amar Bo Umnin, like the Gemara says earlier, Gabi Socher Sachamar Meisla B'Chatzi Derech Nosin Loscharo Shel Chatzi Aderech. That if you rent a donkey to travel a certain distance, the donkey makes it halfway and then it dies halfway. So you give the payment that it would cost to rent a donkey for half the distance, not for the full distance, and that's fine, and that's all you need to do. So so you have to pay the Chatzi Aschirus. That's Shita Satosos. There is a Shita in Rishonim that says otherwise. The Ritva on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph quotes from his Rebbe, the Ra'ah, that you have to pay the entire Schirus payment. That even if the ceiling caves in, or the floor caves in, halfway through the agreed upon term of the rental, you're still going to have to pay the entire rental payment. That's what he quotes in the name of the Ra'ah, because he says, just like when you buy a house, I buy a house and I intend to use it for 30, 40, 50, 60, however many years I intend to use the house when I buy a house. If the house caves in or whatever, I still have to pay the full value for the house, right? I still got to keep paying the mortgage. even though the house is no longer there, even though the house, something happened to the house. So the Ra'an says that the same is true with schirus, that when you agree upon the schirus, so, you know, you hope it lasts, but things don't always last, and that's a risk you take, and you're still going to have to pay the agreed upon rental payment for that bias. Rav Elchanan explains in the Kovei Tzaharos that the Yisod HaMachlokas between Tosfos and the Ra'ah is that if you say like the Ra'ah, the Tashlum of the Schirus is on the Pu'ulas HaKinyan, meaning when you pay, you're paying for that Kinyan. You're paying for that first moment of taking possession of it. And the entire payment is all for that first moment. How long do you get to stay there? Okay, those are just terms of the agreement. But the entire payment is for that first moment of taking over the schirus, of taking over the right to live there. Whereas Tosfos clearly understands that no, that the schirus is an ongoing, it's a payment for an ongoing service that you're being provided. And if the service stops at some point, so then you're not going to have to pay anymore because the service is no longer being provided. But Frank tells us there's one area where this doesn't match exactly with the case of the chamar. That is as follows. Visham pirashti amaylo amar hachal b'sof ha-shoel gabi amaskar b'ayis chaver v'nafal im yesh b'damim likach yikach liskar yiskar b'damar gabi chamar. If you recall, by the case of the donkey, you rented a donkey to travel 100 miles. It made it only 70 miles, let's say. So you pay for those 70 miles, now you have a dead donkey here. So what do? So the Gemara had said, well, if you could sell the carcass of that donkey and rent another one to bring you the last 30 miles, so you could do that, because this donkey is meshubad to bring you the rest of the way, or buy another donkey that could bring you the last 30 miles. So you could do that. Yet the Gemara over here never mentions anything like that with the bias, right? It fell down, the aliyah fell in. So why don't we talk about, well, if there's enough value in the stones that fell in, that I could be able to rent a house for the remainder of my schirus, so I should do that. Why does the Gemara never mention anything like that? So Tosfos says, Shampi Rashti, that he dealt with this earlier. He in fact did. Let me just mention some of the shitos of other Rishonim when it comes to this halacha. The Ravid is metaretz that when it comes to renting a donkey, it's different than renting a house. That when you rent a donkey, you're renting it to travel a certain specific distance. And as long as you did not travel that specific distance, the chamar is still meshubah to you. However, when you rent a house, there's no kitzvah, there's no set amount of time. You pay for each and every year, but there's no set amount of time for how long it's expected to last. So you pay for each year, each day in the year, and it falls down, so that's the end of the tekufa of the schirus. There's no very specific tekufa for schirus on a bias. There is a very specific tekufa for schirus on a donkey because there's a very specific a road that you need to travel. So, but in that way, the bias is fundamentally different than the donkey, and that's why the halacha doesn't apply of taking the avanim and just selling them in order to pay for the remainder of your rental somewhere else or to rebuild it or whatever. The Ramban is mitarets that chamor zeh, when you use a lashon of renting this donkey, the implication is bein chai bein meis. Whether the donkey is alive or dead, it's still going to be chamor zeh. Because even when it's dead, it's still called a donkey. As opposed to bayis zeh, once the house falls down, it's no longer called a bayis. Right? Once it falls down, it's just a bunch of stones. So the stones are no longer meshubad to that schirus, because it's no longer a bias, whereas the donkey that's dead is still called a chamar, so it's meshubah to that schirus. And finally, the sheet of the Ramah that's quoted in the Torah, Ramah Resh Mem Hei, that's quoted in the Torah, is that Enochinami, by a bias also, you have the same din, that if you have enough value in the Avanim to go buy another bias or to rent another bias, so go buy or rent another bias. And according to the Ramah, Enochinami, the din of the bias and the din of the chamar are one and the same. There's not going to be any difference between them whatsoever. That's just a sampling of the Shitos and Rishonim regarding how we relate this Gemara to the halacha of renting the donkey. So says the Gemara Vayter. There was a story of a guy who said to his friend, Dolis shal gabe parsak zeh ani mocherlach. I'm selling you this vine that happens to be supported by this peach tree. That there was a peach tree that supported a vine that was growing over it. And he said, I'm selling you the vine on top of the peach tree. Not the peach tree. The peach tree I'm keeping for myself. just the vine. Videkar parsik. And then what happens? The peach tree was cut down, was in a storm or something, and it blew down. It's no longer there. Uba ma'isa l'fnei Rabbi Chiya, va'amar chayva talami lo parsik kol zman sha'adal l'skayama. And the din came to Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya paskind that you have to put up the peach tree kol zman that the vine is still there. As long as the vine is still there, your peach tree is meshubah to it. Why? Because you didn't just say dalazu ani mocherlach or ani socherlach, right? You said mocherlach in this case. You said dalashal gabe parsik zeh. And by saying, why did you have to mention the peach tree? By mentioning the tree, you're being meshabed the tree to support the vine. And that's the end of it. Says the Gemara, Boy Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel, Kishuhu dar levado hu dar kedimei kara, udun l'shneim darin, da amalei adaita lafkina and lo agrilach. When we say that if the floor caves in, the guy on the top floor is allowed to move into the bottom floor so long as the guy in the balabais has not been misakin it, what does that mean? He's allowed to move in and kick out the family that's living in the bottom floor, kick out the balabais from the bottom floor? Does that mean no? He can move in together with him. He can't throw him out, but he can move in together with him. So when he lives, kishudar levado, who does it? Does he get to live there all alone like he lived alone on the top floor? Or maybe no. Maybe they both have to live there together. They have to make room for everybody, because the owner of the house can say, I never intended to rent you the house al manas that I would be kicked out of my own home. I didn't think that was the deal. Okay, you want to live here, but not to kick me out. So that's one question. Imtim tzilomer shneim darin bo kishu mishtamish derech psach mishtamish or derech agin mishtamish. And if you're going to say that they both live there, which, by the way, as we've pointed out in the past, when it comes to paskening halacha on shilos that result in a teku, which this, by the way, is going to result in a teku, usually we pasken like if you have a choice, is A correct or is B correct? And if you're going to say B is correct, is C correct or D correct? So almost always it means we pasken like B. Right, imtim tzilomar. If we say an imtim tzilomar within one side and not within the other side, so it usually means we paskin like that imtim tzilomar. You'll notice by imtim tzilomar shnei and darimbo, there's a small aleph there, and it refers you to the Rambam and it refers you to the Shulchan Aruch, because obviously we do paskin like that imtim tzilomar. We paskin that they live there together in the bottom floor, and not that the guy in the top floor can throw out the owner of the house from the bottom floor and live there all alone. So anyway, what's the shaila though? If you're going to say that that's correct, that they live there together, so when the guy in the top floor wants to use the house, he wants to come in, so how does he get into the house? Derech psach mishtamish, does he go in through the regular front door? Or does he still have to use the ladder that brings him to the top floor and then scale down the wall on the other side to get to the bottom floor? Meaning, since the ladder is still functional, and that was what he paid rent for, and it's still there, so maybe he should have to use it. Mi amar kidmei ikara, ma mei ikara derech agin, hashinami derech agin. Do we say that he continues to do what he did initially? He should continue to do what he did initially, and therefore, just like initially it was derech agin, over here also it was derech agin, it should be derech agin. Odilma matzi amalei aliya kabili alai. Or maybe no, he could say to him, aliya kabili alai, aliya v'yirida lo kabili alai. When I rented the top floor, I agree to have to go up in order to get into my house, in order to get into the place where I'm going to live. But I had never agreed to go up and then scale back down the other side of a wall in order to get into the place where I'm going to live. That was never part of the arrangement. And if you're making me go up and down, that's you're adding an inconvenience that I had never agreed upon initially. And therefore, I'm not into that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go both up and down. So that's another question. Do we assume he has the right to say that? Third question. Im timtzilomar matziyamalei aliyah v'yarida lo kabili alai. And again, the same rule with him timtzilomar, that if you're going to say that he can tell him aliyah v'yarida lo kabili alai, that I had never intended or accepted upon myself the inconvenience of going up and down. Shtei aliyos zu al gavzu mahu. What if you have three floors? You have a bayis, aliyah number one, and aliyah number two on top of that. What's the din there? Ifchis aliyona nachis v'dar b'tachtona. Now, if the third floor caves in, so then clearly he can go live in the second floor, right? That's not much of an issue. Ifchis tachtona ma'u lemislik legamri be'aliyona. However, what if the second floor caves in? So can he go live in the third floor? Do we say, Mi amrina da amrle shem aliyah kabilis alach, o dilma chad aliyah kablale shte aliyos lo kablale? Do we say that he can tell him, you accepted upon yourself that you're going to have the inconvenience of climbing upstairs anyway, so go climb up another flight of stairs and go to the third floor? Or do we say, no, that the guy can say, the renter can say, I was mekabla myself to go upstairs. I was never mekabla myself to go up that many stairs, though. And therefore, I need you to fix this, and I don't have to, you can't be dochami to the third floor. I don't want to live in the third floor. I want to live in a second floor apartment. So teku, the Gemara leaves this as well as a teku. Okay, so that's the shayla. Good. Says the Gemara Vayter. Says Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Yossi Amar Tachto Nosin Es HaTikra. Rabbi Yossi says the guy on the bottom can should provide the tikra, right? And the guy on the top will provide the ma'aziva, the different parts of the ceiling that's in between of the, and the floor that's in between the first floor and the second floor. So says Gemara, my tikra. What is a tikra? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amar, meaning how do you make a tikra? What's it made out of? What does that involve? What does he have to provide him with? So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amar, kinema sana'in, a combination of reeds and thorns that apparently packed together somehow create a floor that's sturdy enough that people can walk on. Visatinia, that could support weight. Visatinia Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, lavachim. And Satinia Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, he provides him with cedar wood. So velo pligin, the truth is they're not even arguing. Marki asrei, marki asrei. It depends what the minhag of construction in that location is. If people in construction in that place normally use thorns and reeds, so gesante, that's what he's supposed to use. If they normally use different types of wood or beams, so good, so use that. There were these two guys. One lived on the top floor, one lived on the bottom floor. If chisma aziva, the roof, the ceiling, rather, in between the two floors broke. There was a hole in it. What happened was, every time the guy on the top floor would take a shower, every time he would wash his hands, every time he would do anything, the plumbing was such that the water would drip right down into the guy on the bottom floor. So the leave out the words in parentheses. Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar he'elyon misakein. Rav Chiya bar Abba would say, whose responsibility is it to fix it? Now again, the guy on the top floor is not suffering. He's fine. The hole is done in such a way where it's not affecting the way he lives. It's only affecting the way the guy on the bottom floor is living now. Meaning, even though there's a hole in his floor, the guy and the hole in the guy in the bottom floor ceiling, so it's affecting the water. The water is coming right down into the bottom floor. So who has to fix it? So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says the guy in the top floor is responsible to fix it. Rabbi Loi Mishum Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Yossi Amar Hatachton Misakin. And Rabbi Loi says in the name of Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Yossi that the guy in the bottom floor has to fix it. The Simon, and the Simon to remember who says who fixes what is the Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. You remember the pasuk Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. Why? Where we have Yosef? It was Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Yossi who said that the tachton, that the bottom guy fixes it. So Yosef Hurad, Yosef goes down. So you see that the one who has a name similar to Yosef, he's the one that says that the one on the bottom floor is going to have to fix it. So bottom line is, you have this machlokas, whether when the problem in the floor in between is only causing problems for the guy on the bottom, who's responsible to fix it? So Lema Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Eloi Beplukta Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon Kamiflugi. Maybe that machlokas about who's responsible to fix it is subject to the same machlokas as Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon in our Mishnah, meaning in terms of who provides the ma'aziva. If you hold that the guy in the top floor has to fix it, so what do you hold? Since he's being mazik, the guy in the bottom floor, every time he washes his hands, water goes and does water damage to the bottom floor, so it's a mazik's responsibility to make sure that he's not damaging anybody and that he stops to damage people. So he has to be marchik himself from the nizik. And the one that holds no, that the guy on the bottom floor has to fix it, mazik l'archik asatzmo min hamazik. Holds that no, that it's the person on the bottom floor's responsibility to be marchik himself from the mazik. That if you see that you're getting damaged, do something to avoid it. You have to. That's your responsibility. You can't wait. You don't have the right to wait or to demand that the mazik stop doing whatever normal activity he's doing that may be hurting you. You have to do something to avoid it. V'tizra Rabbi Yosi Rabbanan Lini Nizakin Pligi. But is that really we're fine with saying that's the machlokas when the water is coming down from the top floor to the bottom floor. But is that really what Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan are arguing about in our Mishnah when they talk about whether you have to fix the maziva, whether the guy in the bottom floor has to pay for the maziva? In fact, we know that Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan, if they argue about this issue, they say the exact opposite. The Tanan, because we have another Mishnah relating to real nazikin, Basra case, marchikin aseilon min abar esrim l'chamesh ama, that you're not supposed to plant a tree within 25 amos of a bar. Why don't you plant a tree within 25 amos of a bar? Because roots of a tree tend to spread out, and they're likely to weaken the walls of the bar. The bar is not going to be as effective, as useful, if the roots of the tree get anywhere near the bar. So, ubacharub b'shikma, if it's a charub or a shikma tree, which have stronger roots and roots that travel much further, chamishim amah, then you have to stay 50 amos away. Bein milamala, bein minatzad. And that applies whether the bar is on a different level ground than the tree is, or if it's on the same level ground as the tree is on. Ima bar kadam, kotzeitz v'nosin damim. Now, what if the bar was there first, and then a guy goes and plants a tree within 25 amos of the bar? So what's the halacha? The owner of the tree has to cut down the tree, and v'nosin damim, and the owner of the bar is going to reimburse him for the tree. Ima ilan kadam lo yikotz. If the tree actually was there first, and then the guy decided to dig a bar, you don't have to cut down the tree. You were there first. You were allowed to plant the tree there, and you don't have to cut it down. Safek zekadam, safek zekadam, lo yikotz. If you're not sure which one was there first, so mosi mechavera lafaraya, you can't force the guy to cut it down, and therefore it remains up. The tree remains. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, afal pisha bar kodemes leilan, lo yikotz. Even though the bar came before the tree, you're not going to have to cut down the tree. Because you can't tell me what to do in my property. And if I want to plant a tree in my property, I'm allowed to plant a tree in my property. It's going to affect your bar. So I have an idea. When you want to dig a bar in your property, keep it 25 amos away from the border. You want to be safe about it. You don't want my tree to affect you. So you should have dug a bar more than 25 amos away from the border. The fact that you didn't, it's your responsibility. So what do you see? Alma Rabbi Yossi Savar ala nizik l'archik asatzmo, v'Rabbana Savri ala mazik l'archik asatzmo. If anything, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that the nizik is the one who has to take care of himself and make sure that he doesn't get damaged. And the Rabbanan say it's ala mazik l'archik asatzmo, it's the mazik's responsibility to distance himself. So you know what? There is a machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, whether it's the nizik's or mazik's responsibility to take care of the problem. But the machlokas is not in our Mishnah, it's in the Mishnah of Basra. So says Gemara, that's fine too. If you want to say that this machlokas about the guy on the top floor, every time he washes his hands, that water drips down to the bottom floor, this machlokas amarayim, whose responsibility it is to fix the leak, is related to machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. You're right, it is related to machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, but not to our machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, to the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan in Baba Basra about the tree and the bar. And that's what they're arguing about. So Frak the Gemara, okay, but what are Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah arguing about? Rabbi Yossi Rabbanan dahacha b'may kamiflugi, b'may pligi. What are Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah arguing about? So b'chozek tikra kamiflugi, Rabbanan sari ma'aziva achzuke tikruhu, v'achzuke tikra ala tachton bayil achzuke. The Rabbanan hold that the function of the maziva is to strengthen the floor in between the two apartments, and as such, that's the responsibility of the guy on the bottom to make sure that it's a strong, firm floor that's in between the two apartments. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the strength of the tikra is that has nothing to do with the maziva. That has to do with the tikra, right? The maziva has nothing to do with the strength of the floor in between. You know what the maziva does? It just makes it nice and smooth on top, so that the guy living on top has an even floor. But in terms of the support of the floor, it doesn't really do anything for it. And as such, since it's only there for convenience sake and not for security sake, you want your floor to be nice, that's why you want carpet on your floor, put in your own carpet, right? The carpet's not going to make the floor any stronger, it just makes it nicer for you to walk on. So, because hey, put in your own carpet, but you can't impose on the guy in the bottom to make your floor convenient and easy to walk on. You can impose on him to make it secure and to make it usable, that you're allowed to do, but to make it easy to walk on, that's not within your jurisdiction, it's not within your rights. So frankly, Gemara eini v'am Ravashi ki avina be'Rav Kahana v'am Rinan mod Rabbi Yosi b'giri delay. Is that really so? Didn't Ravashi say that when he was by Rav Kahana, Rabbi Yosi is mod b'giri delay, that when you damage directly, that you can't say that it's the Nizik's responsibility to protect himself. Meaning, this goes back not to the previous line, but to the line before that. Meaning, this doesn't go back on what we were just saying. This goes back to the fact that we related the case of the guy on top with water that drips down to the bottom to the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan about whose responsibility it is to be marchik themselves by the tree and the bar, right? Where Rabbi Yossi said it's ala nizik l'archikas atzmo. You don't want to get damaged. Don't dig a bar within 25 amos of the border. You have to be marchik your bar if you're afraid that the bar is going to get damaged. And we thought Rabbi Yossi would also say that if you have someone living above you and every time he washes his hands, the water comes down into your apartment, you have to do the repair because you're the Nizik. You have to be Marchik yourself. Ask the Gemara, but wait a second. Nizik always has to be Marchik himself. Someone comes over to me with a baseball bat and starts beating me over the head with it. So it's my fault. I should have been Marchik myself. I should have made sure not to walk on that street. And what do you mean? Nizik doesn't always have to be Marchik himself. It's the Mazik does bear responsibility most of the time, doesn't he? So what's the Chilik? The Chilik is very simple. Rabbi Yossi holds when it's Girei Delay, when it's direct damage, where he's going ahead and he's damaging you with his hands or shooting arrows at you. He's doing something geared, aimed at you directly, so then it's the Mazik's responsibility, it's not the Nizik's responsibility. It's only if the Mazik is doing something completely normal and he's just minding his own business, and it happens to be that indirectly, as a result of what he's doing, there's going to be damage that comes to you, so then you have to protect yourself from such damage. Where he goes and he directly tries to hurt you, he directly does something, right, even if he's not doing it maliciously, but if he's directly hurting you, so then it's the Mazik's responsibility. So frek the Gemara, when a guy is washing his hands and he knows that every single time he washes his hands, the water goes straight down into the bottom floor. He washes right over the hole in the ceiling. So that's directly damaging you. That's not indirect. Rabbi Yossi would be moda. That's not the Nizik's responsibility. That's the Mazik's responsibility. Answers the Gemara, to paski maya v'hadar nafli. Now the case is that the water doesn't go directly down. It actually, it goes into your sink, and it goes down your drain, and it goes, and then it's slowly, there's a tiny little hole somewhere in the pipes, and it slowly, slowly settles down and goes down. So as long as it's not direct, so Rabbi Yossi will not be mother. Rabbi Yossi will still maintain that it's the Nizik's responsibility to Marchik himself. New Mishnah. Habayis Valiyos Shel Shnayim Shenaflu. Again, each Mishnah, we have to know what's the arrangement of this Bayis V'Aliyah. This Mishnah, again, is very clear. It belongs to two people, right? The Bayis V'Aliyah that belonged to two people. Amar Bal Aliyah L'Bal HaBayis, the owner of the Aliyah, says to the owner of the Bayis, Livnos, that he wants to rebuild. It belongs to people, the whole thing fell down. It's not just the Aliyah that's no longer functional, the entire house fell down. So the Bal Aliyah says to the Bal HaBayis, come on, let's rebuild, I want to live in my apartment again. The Bal HaBayis is not interested. He doesn't want to rebuild. So the Bal Aliyah is allowed to build a bayis, live inside that bayis without a top floor, until the guy on the bottom floor, the guy who originally owned the bayis, pays for it. And then the one who originally owned the bayis can move back in if he pays for it. And now the Bal Aliyah can build an Aliyah on top of it. But so long as the Bal HaBayis didn't pay for it, the Bal Aliyah could build a bayis on that spot and himself live in that bayis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Avze Dar B'Tok Shal Chaver, Tzarech La'alos L'Schar. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. When the Baal Aliyah rebuilds a bias on that spot, it's not his bias, because he doesn't have the rights to build a bias in that spot. He has the rights to have an Aliyah on that spot. So when he builds a bias on that spot, it's still a bias that belongs to somebody else. He paid for the whole thing? Yeah, but it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to somebody else because he never had the rights to build on that spot. And therefore, he's going to have to pay rental. If he wants to live there, he'll have to pay rent for living there. Ella, so that's not a good etza for him, obviously, to build a bais and then pay rent for a bais that he built himself. So you know what he should do? Bala aliyah bonas a bais ve'as aliyah u'makares aliyona v'yoshev v'bais ha'shitin lo sitz yosef. He should build a bais and an aliyah, make the aliyah livable, and then live in the house until the expenses of the bais are paid by the owner of the bais. Why is this any better? He's still living in the bais. So isn't he still living in something that doesn't belong to him? Why shouldn't he have to pay rent for that? So if you look at Rashi, v'yoshiv b'bayis ha'tachton, davele zelo nene v'zelo chaser. Because this is a case of zelo nene v'zelo chaser. Hulo nene sharei aliyasu mechanes lo. The guy living, the Baal Aliyah is now living in the bayis, is not nene from the bayis, because he could very well, just as easily, live in the Aliyah. He has an Aliyah to live in. So he's getting zero hana from living in the bayis. He might as well, as far as he's concerned, live in the Aliyah that's ready for him to live in. V'zelo chaser, debelavachi lo chazilei dehalo havabanila. And the one who owns the bayis, he's not losing any money by it, because he never wanted to pay to build the house in the first place. So if he wasn't going to build it, he's not losing anything by not having access to the house that he wasn't planning on building anyway. So since it's zelonen of zelo chaser, that's why you don't have to pay the rental payment. Says Tosos, Pirush Bekuntres, the time mishum da hashalonena, dari aliyasa muchaneslo. That the explanation is that the Baal Aliyah is not being nana because the Aliyah is there for him if he wants it. Fractosos vikasha, da nana hu shein sorach lavos. What do you mean he's not being nana? He doesn't have to climb the stairs every time he wants to go into the house. Isn't that called hana also? So v'nir degarasu makaras aliyah v'yoshev bitocha pirish ba'aliyah v'lo yaniach l'bal ha'bayis l'karnis bitocha achitin lo yitziyosav. Says Tosos, the Mishnah is not saying that he should live in the bayis. The gears in the Mishnah, the proper gears in the Mishnah should say that the Baal Aliyah should build a two-floored house, right? He should live in the top floor, which is his and he has absolute rights to, and he should lock up the bottom floor and not allow the Baal HaBayis to enter until the Baal HaBayis pays for it. Baal HaBayis is likely going to want to enter, so eventually he'll pay for it. That's the best etza we can give for the Baal Aliyah. He's going to have to lay out all the money, but ultimately, hopefully, he'll be reimbursed. Says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'shlosha Mekom Shana Lanu Rabbi Yehuda, Asladim Shiana Mimamun Chavero. There are three different places where Rabbi Yehuda taught us that a person is not allowed to get hana'a from somebody else's mamon. Chada, one place is, Chada Tanan, that which it says in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda says, look, you can't just be living, you can't build a bayis when the whole thing falls down. If you're the Baal Aliyah, you can't just build a bayis and live there because you're being nana from somebody else's property if you're living in the bayis. So that's one case where Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to be nana from mamon chavero. Idach mahi, what's another example? Titnan. You give wool to a dyer to dye the wool red for you and he dyes it black, shachar tzvo edom, or you give it to him to dye black and he dyes it red, so he does the wrong thing, although he makes an improvement on it because he does dye it. Rameir says you pay for the wool. Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the dyer, pays for the wool and just keeps the wool because he ruined it. He messed it up, he did the wrong thing, so he pays for the wool and we're done. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that if the improvement of the wool is greater than the expense incurred to dye it, you only have to pay for the expense that the dyer incurred. If the expense incurred is greater than the improvement, you only have to pay for the improvement. You pay the lower amount. So that's another example of not getting hana'a from somebody else's money, that the dyer shouldn't get any extra hana'a from this person's wool. The idach mahi, what's the third example where he says you can't get hana'a from somebody else's money? It's not. We have the following Mishnah. Misha para mitzvah chovo, person pays part of his chov, I owe $100, I pay 50 of it. V'hishlish ashtaro. And what do I do with the shtar that says I owe $100? We give it to a third party. V'amrlo, and I tell the third party, im eina ninosin lecha mikan v'atzman ploni, ten lo shtaro. I tell the third party, if in 30 days I don't pay the remaining the balance of $50 of the shtar, you can give the shtar back to the lender, and he'll be able to collect $100 again from me, because the shtar says that I owe him $100. So I'm willing to put a penalty into it that you're able to give him back his shtar if I don't pay the balance within a certain amount of time. He gives man v'lo nasan, Rabbi Yossi amar yitain. If the time comes and he didn't pay the balance, so Rabbi Yossi says, nope, he agreed. So now you give the shtar back to the lender, and the lender's going to be able to collect $100. Rabbi Yehuda amar lo yitain. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Why? Because you're not allowed to be nana for money that's not yours. So you're going to go and collect money that you're not really entitled to. And that's not good. So these are all examples of Rabbi Yehuda saying that you can't get hana from possessions that don't belong to you. Frankly, Gemara, really? Are all three of these cases about that? Are they really about being nana mimamul chavero? We'll go one by one and show how none of these cases are about that. Amai. Maybe over here the reason the Bala Aliyah is not allowed to live in the bottom floor without paying rent is not because he's not allowed to be nene from his friend's property. It's because the more you live in a house, the more it ages. You're blackening the walls of the house, and you're paying for that because you are doing something to it. It's not just stam, I'm being nene from his property, but it's not affecting it in any way. You know, you're very much affecting it, and that's what you have to pay for. And when it comes to the dye, you're dyeing it the wrong color, that's a knas, because he did the wrong thing. You hired him to do X, he did Y, he did the wrong thing. So it's a knas on him that he only gets the lower payment. Nothing to do with being nana from other people's money. And what about the third case? Umisha para mitzvos chavonami havi asmachta v'shaminin le'rabbi d'damar lo kani. And in terms of the third case of where I tell the guy, look, if I don't pay back the balance, so you can go and give him back the shtar, that's because that's a case of asmachta. I didn't actually intend not to pay back the balance. If I told him to give back the shtar, it meant because I really thought I was going to pay back the balance within the allotted time. And Rabbi Yehuda holds asmachta is not kona. So it's an issue of asmachta. Has nothing to do with being Nana Michel Chavero. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow. We're falling behind on purpose, so that we'll have something to do on Shabbos.